Go big before you go home. 1 Corinthians 15 and starting in verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look at 16, verse 1. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I directed the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no special collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men that you approve, and I will send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go next. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work is standing open for me, but there are many who oppose me. Let's pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the people that you love so much. I pray that we would encounter you through the ministry of your word. If your heart agrees, just say amen and amen. Go big or go home. There needs to be a moment in every one of our lives when the truth of those words resonates in our spirit. Go big or go home. It means whatever you do in life, give it your all. Always rise to the challenge. Give whatever it takes to win. Risk everything. Expend everything. Give it all you've got. Be extravagant in your effort. Be excellent. Go big or go home is the code of champions. In fact, it's the way of life of champions. For a few minutes this morning, I want to share with you some words of passion and some words of vision. And I realize that not everyone might understand, not everyone might agree, but I pray that as I share my heart, it will resonate with somebody here today and it will make a difference in your life. I don't know whether you've noticed, but that hole outside, it is really, really big. In fact, I'm pretty sure every time I look out the window, it's gotten bigger to the point that my knees tremble a little bit. A few days ago, I texted our district superintendent, Pastor Bob, and I sent him a photo. I texted him a photo of the hole, and I said, "What have we gotten ourselves into?" Immediately, he texted back to me, and he said, "Now you know why the words holy, holy, holy are followed by Lord God Almighty." And I want to tell you the truth. I've been praying that ever since. Lord God Almighty, help us, because we got a great big holy, holy, holy out there. This project is big. It's very big. And I have to tell you the truth. I believe it should be. I believe that harvest time is supposed to be big. In fact, I believe that we are all supposed to be big in Christ. We are meant to make a big difference in people's lives. We are meant to make a big difference in God's world. My prayer is that someone's heart today would resonate with some big theology. You know, big is in the very nature of our great God. In the beginning, he created a whole big expanse of starry universe just to sustain life on this single little blue and green marble called Earth. He created a big sky and big oceans and big mountains on big continents, and he filled them all with a very big variety and quantity of living creatures. From the dust of the earth, he created mankind, and he endowed him with a big capacity to think and to feel and to relate and to communicate and to create, unlike any other living creature on earth. And he blessed Adam and Eve. And he commanded them to go fill the earth with a big population of humankind. And they went forth. But because of Adam's disobedience to God, this big population of humanity was left with a big problem on its hands, sin, and the big consequence of death. So now here we are. We live in the suburbs of one of the world's biggest cities, and certainly the world's most famous. It's full of big buildings and big things. And specifically, God has called us to this community of Greenwich that has a big reputation. Big people live here. They have big names and big personalities and big ambitions, and they're doing big things in the world. And I don't know whether you've noticed, but they live in some really big houses. And I think there ought to be a spirit-filled church here that has a big influence on this entire region and is doing big things in God's world. It has been said that bigger is not better. And you know, it's true. Bigger is not better. Better is better. But when a church gets better, it gets bigger. When a church gets better, it starts making big changes in people's lives one at a time. You know, no matter how big a church building might be, people only come through the door one at a time. No matter how many seats in the sanctuary, only one person at a time sits in a seat. People only come to the altar one at a time. People only come to Christ one at a time. People only get delivered from sin one at a time. They only get water baptized one at a time. They only receive the good gift of the Holy Spirit one at a time. But when a church gets better, that just keeps happening more and more. When a church gets better, its ministries get bigger. The scope of services that it offers to people gets bigger. Its capacity to serve more people gets bigger. The pool of people resources gets bigger. The pool of financial resources gets bigger. When a church gets better, its sphere of influence gets bigger. Its impact on the community gets bigger. Its impact on God's world gets bigger. Harvest time, I believe that God wants us to think big. We live in a big country with a big economy, and there are still big opportunities. The American church is still big, and it still has a very big capacity to do God's work in the world. And we have big news to tell the world of a great God who has a very big heart of love, so big that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to meet the world's biggest need. God wants us to dream big. God wants us to plan big. He wants us to live big. He wants us to achieve big. And this is my prayer, that we would all go big before we go home. I pray that we would catch a vision to accomplish significant things for God here on earth so that we might receive from him a big welcome home and a big reward when we go to heaven. You know, Paul was a big thinker and a big dreamer too. He wrote to the Corinthians, "Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. You will receive eternal life." Go big before you go home. Paul had big plans to spread the gospel from Turkey to Greece, and from Greece to Rome, and from Rome to Spain, which was literally the ends of the earth in his day. Paul also had a big project on his heart to raise a big sum of money to help the suffering Christians in Jerusalem. This is the collection for God's people that Paul is talking about here in the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 16. I have to tell you the truth. After we talked about the great resurrection passage on Easter Sunday morning, I was planning on moving on from 1 Corinthians, but the Lord started giving me a download about 2 weeks ago, and from a very unlikely text, the Holy Spirit has given me a word to share with you today about going big. As I look at Paul's instructions for the collection, I see some principles for going big before you go home, and I want to share them with you quickly today. Principles for going big before you go home. First, this. If you want to go big, become part of something that is bigger than yourself. If you want to go big, become part of something that is bigger than yourself. We've been studying 1 Corinthians since last September, almost the whole school year. And we've discovered that one source of their many problems as a church was that they were quite myopic. In their eyes, the whole universe revolved around them. In their own eyes, they looked pretty good. They looked pretty spiritual. In fact, they thought they had eclipsed their father in the Lord, Paul. They were so focused on the goings-on in their own little church that they forgot that there was a whole big world out there. They forgot that they were part of something much bigger than themselves. They were part of the kingdom of God on earth. They were part of the church Catholic. So Paul starts out this letter immediately reminding them that they are part of something bigger. And he keeps on reminding them of that throughout this entire letter. This is what we teach in all the churches. This is the rule that we lay down in all the churches. This is how we do it in all the churches. And here again, at the very end of this letter, in chapter 16, Paul is reminding the Corinthians that they are part of something bigger than themselves. He reminds them that they belong to the believers in Macedonia, the believers in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. He reminds them in chapter 16 that they belong to the believers in Asia, in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Philadelphia, Thyatira, Sardis, Laodicea, Colossae. He reminds them in chapter 16 that they belong to the believers in Galatia. And he reminds them especially that they belong to the believers in Jerusalem. And maybe that's why Paul pressed them to participate in this big collection for Jerusalem, to lift the eyes of the Corinthians off of themselves and to give them a vision to be part of something bigger. Paul says, do exactly what I directed the Galatians to do. Each one of you bring an offering to church each Sunday and become part of this big thing. And there's a principle for us all. If you want to go big, become part of something bigger than yourself. Namely, become part of the kingdom of God on earth. Become part of His church, His family. Become part of the Missio Dei, the mission of God to save people on earth. You know, working together, you will accomplish far more for God than you could ever accomplish alone. There wasn't much that one person could do to meet the needs of the entire church in Jerusalem. But Paul said if each one would participate, then together they could accomplish something big. And they did. And working together, we can accomplish big things too. We already have, and we will yet. Working with other believers, you will leave a legacy that will last long beyond your lifetime. You know, the world might have never remembered an ambitious young Jew named Saul, but after an encounter with Jesus Christ, Saul, who was named after a proud king, changed his name to Paul, which means little. There's a truth right there for you. If you want to go big, forgo chasing a big name for yourself. Paul became part of something much bigger than himself, and by doing so, he became the second most influential man in the history of the planet Earth after Jesus. Paul said, "Him we preach. We do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants for His sake." The world would have never remembered a first century Corinthian woman named Chloe, nor men named Crispus and Gaius and Stephanus. The world would have never remembered a hospitable, nurturing, pastoral couple named Priscilla and Aquila. The world would have never remembered a timid preacher named Timothy, nor a talented preacher named Apollos. The world would have never remembered some church leaders named Sopater and Aristarchus and Secundus and Tychicus and Trophimus. But because they became part of something much bigger than themselves, their names are immortalized in the pages of the best-selling book in human history. And even better than that, their names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we have an opportunity to go big working together right here at harvest time. After we're gone, the world might not remember our names. Surely they will not, but the world will be a better place because we were here. You know, because we were here, the landscape of Greenwich has been changed forever. There is now a Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, salvation-preaching, people-reaching church on King Street where there wasn't one before. Because we were here, the landscape of Nakuru, Kenya has been changed. The landscape of Suswa, Kenya and Nairobi, Kenya has been changed. The landscape of Coliseo, Ecuador has been changed. The landscape of Dakar, Senegal has been changed. The landscape of Bangladesh has been changed. Yangon, Myanmar, Indonesia, Lutz, Ukraine. There are churches and there are schools and there are clinics and there are orphanages and there are water wells where once there was none because we were here. Because we were here, the religious landscape of this whole town has been changed. You know, when we built this building, we managed to amend the zoning laws for the entire town in favor of every church. So because we built this building, Stanwich Church was able to build their new building. First Presbyterian Church was able to expand their building. Christ Church used our consultants that we used to help us raise funds, and they raised money to renovate their building. And after we're gone, phase two will still be standing as a testimony that there was once a group of people here who loved Christ so deeply that they dedicated their lives to something bigger than themselves. In a couple of weeks, we're going to give you some little capsules with a cap on it. And we're going to ask you to write on little pieces of paper, like the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. We're going to ask you to write scriptures and roll them up and put them in those little capsules. And we are going to embed the Word of God into the foundation of phase two. In fact, I'm going to embed an entire New King James Bible into the foundation of phase two. I can't use an NIV. Pastor Nick won't let me. So New King James is going to go in. You know what? Listen, we might not be around to guide the decisions of the next generation that will occupy this building, but if they want to remove the Word of God from this building, they are going to have to tear it all the way down to the ground. But even more than buildings left on earth, there will be people in heaven. There will be lots of people in heaven because we were here and we became part of something bigger than ourselves. Principles for going big before you go home. The second principle is this. If you want to go big, grow big through faithfulness over time. If you want to go big, you have to grow big. Hidden in these instructions about the collection, I find a key to accomplishing big things in any area of our lives. The way to achieve big results in anything is to work towards them incrementally over time. Paul says, here is how we're going to give a big offering to help Jerusalem. Everyone bring a little bit each week, and after a little while, it'll add up to something big. I have discovered, lamentably, that there is only one way to develop strong muscles, and that is one rep at a time. That is one set at a time, one workout at a time. Jesus, save the church. There is only one way to achieve a big balance in your savings account or your retirement account, and that is one deposit at a time. There is only one way to achieve big chops on your musical instrument, and that is one practice session at a time. And there is only one way to achieve big things for God, and that is one act of faithfulness at a time. Looking at Paul's instructions, I see several keys to growing big. For one thing, grow big by going to church every week. Paul says that each one of you should bring an offering to church on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Beloved, listen to me. Sundays are for church. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, on Sunday, and every week since then, Christians have met for worship on Sunday. If Jesus is your Lord, Sundays are not for sleeping in. Sundays are not for sports. Sundays are not for shopping. Sundays are not for baby showers. Sundays are not for the Sunday times. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you got up and came. You need to call someone on the cell phone who stayed at bedside assembly this morning. There's a comforter. Call them up and say, listen to this right now. Sundays are for gathering in His name and experiencing His presence. Sundays are for singing His praises and giving Him the glory that is due His name. Sundays are for prayer. Sundays are for instruction in the Word of God. Sundays are for fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Sundays are for instilling faith into your family. I got corrected by one of our Italians after the first service. He said, Pastor, Sundays are for church and macaroni. If you want to go big, don't stay home. Go to church on Sunday. See, at church, you'll get a big calling from God. At church, you'll get big ideas. You'll get big dreams. You'll hear about the big plans that God has for you. Plans to prosper and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. At church, you'll get a big impartation of faith. You know, you're getting an impartation of faith right now as the hearing of the Word of God in your ears is causing faith to grow in your heart. At church, you'll get a big impartation of the Spirit. At church, you'll get inspired to do big things and you'll get equipped to do big things. Speaking of the New York Times, I came across an article recently in which they published the health benefits of regular church attendance. Listen to this. Regular church attendance boosts your immune system. It lowers your blood pressure. It prolongs your life by an estimated 3 years. It lowers the risk of depression, and it helps people recover from depression 70% more quickly. Regular church attendance lowers your risk of suicide. It lowers your risk for addiction to drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. It lowers occurrences of divorce, and it promotes better sex lives among married couples. I don't know how they determined that, but it's in the study. Regular church attendance promotes better grades, and it makes people more likely to pursue higher education. Regular church attendance promotes better time and life management skills. And I like this last one. People who attend church regularly are more likely to wear their seatbelts. Grow big by going to church every Sunday. Another key I find. Grow big by prioritizing generosity towards God and others. In Paul's instructions about this special collection, there are principles that apply to all of our giving. First of all, God wants us to make giving our number one financial priority. You know, all over the Bible, we find the principle of giving to God first. We offer God our first fruits, not our leftovers. And Paul affirms that again when he says, on the first day of the week, bring your offering. Before you do anything else, before you buy anything else, before you pay anything else, before you transact any other business, make an offering to God. Now listen, that doesn't mean that your giving will be your biggest disbursement. That would probably be your mortgage and other living expenses, but giving should be your number one priority. Along with that, I find in Paul's words that God wants us to plan our giving and not just to give under duress or on impulse. Paul says, plan ahead the offering that you're going to bring. Let it be set aside in the church treasury. That way, when I come, we won't have to scramble to take special offerings. You know, we're spirit-filled people. We like to be moved by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. And there are certainly times when the Spirit leads us spontaneously to give a generous gift. But it honors God at another level when we plan to give to Him. Now, everybody got quiet. Last night at 5:30 and this morning at 8:30, everybody got quiet. I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. Listen, when we plan to give, it shows God that we're giving out of abiding convictions and not out of fleeting emotions. It shows God that giving to Him is a deeply held value in our hearts. Giving to Him is always important to us, not just occasionally important. You know, there's another key for growing big hidden there. Grow big living by clear Christian convictions and not by your emotions. There's another thing I find in Paul's words, that God wants us to give in proportion to how He has prospered us. If God has given you much, God wants you to give much. If God hasn't given you so much, then give as much as you can, and God will grow your capacity to give more. Here's the difference between champions and underachievers. Champions don't fret about what they cannot do. Champions concentrate on what they can do, and by so doing, they increase their capacity to do more. Underachievers waste their lives waiting for a big break, but champions invest their lives in growing big. That is good preaching right there. Keys to growing big. Go to church every week. Prioritize generosity, live by convictions. Another one I find, grow big by keeping your commitments. The collection for the suffering church in Jerusalem was the fulfillment of a commitment that Paul had made to Peter and James and John. Paul made a visit to Jerusalem and the apostles blessed him for ministry to the Gentile world, but before he left, they made one request. They said, please, would you send help for the poor saints in Jerusalem? Paul committed to doing that, and he kept his promise. The collection was a major focus of his second and third missionary journeys. It was a major topic in his letters. In fact, someone pointed out that Paul actually wrote more about the collection for the saints than he wrote about the great doctrine of justification by faith. And there's a key here. People who keep their commitments grow big. The Corinthians made a commitment to participate in the collection, but after a little while, they wavered a little bit. Their resolve to follow through was flagging, and so Paul wrote to them again in his second letter, and he said, now finish your commitment. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the halfway mark for the Jump In Capital campaign. I want to say thanks be to God and thanks to all of you. At the halfway mark in the campaign, we are right on track. We have given exactly half of what was promised to the campaign. Come on, that's pretty good right there. Two weeks ago, some of us reaffirmed the commitments that we made in the fall of 2013. Some of us added to those commitments. Some of us made new commitments for the second half of the campaign through December of next year, December of 2016. How are we going to keep those commitments? Well, Paul tells us exactly how. By giving a little bit each week. You know, most of us would love to be able to sit down and write a 5-figure check for the building, or a 6-figure check for the building, or a 7-figure check. I would love, there would be nothing that would bring me greater joy than to sit down and write out $1 million to Harvest Time Church. How many of you would like to write that check? You know, for a lot of us, that's not a possibility. But you'd be amazed at how a little bit each week adds up to something really big. If you're behind in your pledge, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. You're probably not going to be able to sit down in December of 2016 and write a check for the whole amount you committed. But if you'll plan now to give a little bit every week, you'll be amazed at how God will make it grow and how God will make you grow. Keys to growing big. You're not shouting, but that was good preaching. Keys to growing big. Go to church. Prioritize generosity. Live by convictions. Keep your commitments. Another thing I see, grow big by serving others, especially fellow believers. Don't have time to elaborate, but in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul calls the collection an act of service for brothers and sisters in Christ. People who serve others grow big. Jesus said, whatever you do for a brother and sister, whatever you do for one of my brothers, you do directly for me. Keys to growing big. Another thing I find, grow big by practicing gratitude. For Paul, the collection was about gratitude. The Jerusalem church was the birthplace of Christianity. No one had sacrificed more for the sake of the gospel. No one had given more. No one had shed more blood. No one had been more courageous. No one had been more obedient. No one had overcome more cultural prejudice and social barriers than the first Christians in Jerusalem. As Saul watched Stephen draw his last breath, it was Stephen's intercession that led to Paul's conversion. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Paul owed everything to the love and the faithfulness of the Jerusalem saints whom he had once persecuted. And everyone who had come to faith in Christ through the ministry of Paul owed the Jerusalem church a debt of gratitude too. Beloved, there's a key here. Grateful people grow big. You know, I believe that one of the reasons God has blessed harvest time is because we continue to bless our spiritual father and mother, Pastor Tate and Patty. You know, we send them an offering every year. It's not a lot of money, but we send it from our hearts just to say thank you for what they did. We're indebted to them. At every anniversary, at every occasion, landmark occasion we've had, we've taken the opportunity to honor them. And because we have practiced gratitude, God has blessed us. And if you practice gratitude, God will bless you too. Keys to growing big. There are several more, but let me give you one more. Grow big by blessing those who mistreat you. This is the hard one. While the Jerusalem church was instrumental in Paul's salvation, it was also the source of Paul's biggest headaches. See, not everyone in the Jerusalem church appreciated Paul's ministry. They didn't like the fact that he abandoned the Jewish traditions, that he was teaching Gentile men that they don't have to be circumcised to come to Christ, that he had abandoned the kosher dietary laws. They didn't trust Paul's motives. Teachers from Jerusalem showed up in Paul's churches and they wreaked havoc. They tried to undermine Paul's doctrine and his authority. They cast long shadows of doubt over Paul's ministry. They threatened to undo everything Paul had worked for. Nevertheless, Paul was determined to bless Jerusalem anyway. Can I tell you the truth? This is one of the hardest commands of Jesus for me to follow. When people hurt me or my family or my friends or Harvest Time Church, really, what rises up inside of me is I want God to hurt them. You know, like James and John, when they said, Jesus, just call down lightning on them. I've discovered that the sons of thunder are triplets, James, John, and Glenn. But you know, that wasn't at all the heart of Jesus. It wasn't the heart of Stephen, and it wasn't the heart of Paul. Paul could never forget how God showed him mercy while he was still a persecutor of the church. How God rescued him and saved him. No wonder he wrote, God who is rich in mercy. And Paul could never forget that if God could save him, God could save anyone, that no one is beyond the reach of the love of God, and so he was determined to bless his enemies. People who bless those who mistreat them grow big. Beloved, I want Harvest Time Church to be the biggest church in Greenwich. I want it to be the biggest church in Fairfield County, in Westchester County. I'm not talking about buildings, and I'm not talking about budgets, and I'm not talking about attendance. I'm talking about people who are big inside. People who have grown big incrementally, one act of faithfulness at a time over the years. Let's attend church weekly. Let's give generously. Let's live by convictions. Let's keep our commitments. Let's serve others. Let's practice gratitude. Let's bless our enemies. And let's grow big together. Principles for going big before you go home. There's the last thing. Worship team, come and help me if you would. Principles for going big before you go home. Finally, this. If you want to go big, keep on going until you achieve your goal. Paul had big plans to take the gospel to the ends of the world. He had a big project in his heart to take a big collection for Jerusalem. But if you study the book of Acts and the timeline of Paul's life, you'll discover that neither of those things happened as quickly as Paul had hoped. But in spite of setbacks and detours, Paul kept on going until he reached his goal. You know, Paul spent 5 years in prison before he was finally free to travel to Spain. 2 years in Judea. He spent almost a year on a prisoner transport trying to get to Rome. He spent 2 more years under house arrest in Rome awaiting trial before Caesar, but God delivered him from the lion's mouth. And finally, after 5 years of delays and detours and disasters, finally he kept going until he reached his goal. Paul worked on the collection for at least 6 years. He wrote to the Corinthians once, and then they flagged in their resolve. So he wrote to them a second time, and he said, "Let your completion match your intention." Listen, this is a good word right here for all of us. Let your completion match your intention. In other words, finish what you first set out to accomplish. What God put in your heart to do, he is more than able to help you finish. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that at all times you have everything you need to abound to every good work. The Corinthians, they wavered a little bit in their resolve, but you know what? They kept going until they reached their goal, and so shall we. I want to close with the true story of a young businessman who gave his life to Christ in the mid-1960s. When he found Jesus, he was on the verge of losing everything, his marriage, his business. And when Christ came into his life, everything turned around. Jesus has a funny way of doing that. Out of gratitude, he set a goal to give $1 million to missions over the course of his lifetime. Now listen, this was on top of his tithes on his income that he gave every week. This was on top of donations he made to building projects, other charities. He had a goal, a personal goal, of giving $1 million to missions. And he started giving a little bit every week. The years passed by, his family grew up, his business grew, and his capacity to give grew larger. So he gave a little bit more at a time. It took him 38 years, but one Sunday, as he recorded in a journal that he kept his giving, he realized that that week he was crossing over the $1 million mark to missions, giving that was above his tithes and above offerings to a building. And he lifted his face to heaven, and he thanked God for blessing him so much to enable him to meet his goal. And then the next Sunday, he took out a fresh journal and he recorded the first check towards his next $1 million for missions. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. Go big before you go home. Think big, dream big, envision big, live big, become part of something bigger than yourself. Grow big over time and keep on going until you achieve big. Come on, would you get on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Come on, let's give Jesus a great big praise.